And I've written this in probably every book that I've ever even touched the Rapture issue, and every episode is it's better to be prepared and not need it than to not be prepared and actually need it. And that's how I feel about the whole Preacher. I hold on to it really loosely because I could so easily be wrong. It's ridiculous. And I've even kind of half joked on this show before. If somebody had a gun to my head, I probably could better just on the Bible. I probably could support pre-wrath a lot easier. I'd have an easier time showing a pre-wrath view from the Bible than a pre-trib, because all views aren't without their problems, and it's not necessarily that the views are the problems. It's our limited human perception. So that's why we have to, be humble in ourselves and realize, we might be wrong. The good thing about having a pre-wrath view is if you're wrong, who cares? You're not gonna be suffering for that.
And that's
But
kind of where I'm leaning. That's kind of why I say what I say, Josh, is because it's like people who I remember talking to a friend who was an atheist Jew. Okay, yeah, there's plenty of atheist Jews out there. Matter of fact, many of them run Hollywood. But here's the deal. Okay, I was talking to my friend who's an atheist Jew, and I don't spend much time with them. Okay, I'll be clear. I don't recommend being unequally yoked with a lot of unbelieving friends. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about that with anybody, but when I do spend time with my unbelieving friends, you better believe I am working on evangelizing.
Absolutely.
And it's that very reason that many of them don't want to hang out with me anymore. Because I don't just go and bite my tongue. I mean, when I'm there, I'm talking about Jesus. I mean, there's no question about it. But here's the deal. What I've told them, multiple friends that are unbelievers, I say, look, if I'm wrong, hey, I haven't lost anything.
Exactly.
If I die and we all just, get reincarnated, or we all just move on to the next, level of consciousness, like you're, basically saying, if that happens, hey, cool, praise God. Then obviously that's God's will, okay? But if I'm right and you've rejected the holy God who died on the cross for you, you've spit in his face by rejecting his sacrifice. I said, if that's the case, you are out of luck for eternity. And that's how I look at the rapture thing. And I tell my pre-trib friends, look, if you're pre-trib, hey, that's your, different strokes for different folks. And look, I want to be wrong, Josh. I hope there's a pre-trib. I'm telling you, boy, I hope you're right. I told Doc Marquis, see, Doc and I joke, okay? The thing, Doc and I, we have similar personalities because we're very hard-headed. But, we don't bend, and you're the same, I'm sure you're the same way. We don't bend. We're all researchers. We don't bend easy. When we believe something, we generally believe it because we're stuck in it. But here's the thing, okay? At the end of the day, if I'm right and you're wrong, it might be a hiccup for some pre-tribbers, a little hiccup. But again, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a preparation. Better to be safe than sorry. And I think pre-wrath is basically, I think that is like, first of all, I think we can prove it biblically. I think pre-wrath is actual based on scripture. Pre-trib is a theory that, even Doc says it's not in the Bible. But what, and again, he's gonna probably cut my head off for saying this, because I'm probably getting it wrong. But Doc says it's not in the Bible, but what was just known by all the early church fathers, or the, I mean, come on, I have to go with scripture here. I got to look at scripture here. I think scripture pushes to a pre-wrath. I think it's pretty black and white when you look at scripture. But regardless of that, I don't care. Okay. That doesn't change my walk with Christ. That doesn't change what I preach, what I teach. So here we are, and we're trying to figure out exactly how these things are going to play out. Okay. I believe the Nephilim never stopped. Okay. I'm just going to tell you, I believe they all got destroyed with the flood. And I believe there's a second incursion. Okay. I do. I don't believe that any of them survived, because I think that that would kind of, I don't know. To me, that just sounds like it's a cheap shot on God. Some of my friends who are very, very smart, very intelligent, they believe that there could have been a survival regardless. Okay. If some of the Nephilim, went up to planet X, or whatever people are saying, hey, you know what? Cool. My point is this: they never stopped. I believe
Absolutely.
there's always been Nephilim being born on this earth, whether it be in a lab, whether it be in a cave, whether it be in somebody's bed. Nephilim have been, in my opinion, constantly been created. They've never stopped. I believe that our leaders, I believe that all the majority of our famous leaders of the world, I believe, I go with Gary Wayne, they come from a Nephilim nobility bloodline. I believe that we've seen some of them do some weird things on TV. Eyes do weird stuff. John McCain, I've seen him live on television. His eyes shapeshift into what look like snake eyes. Stuff that I wouldn't believe had I not seen it. So, I mean, dude, I'm telling you, I think that everything is set up for this return of the Anunnaki. But you see, it's not going to be the return to the government because they already return to the government once a year. This is going to be the return of them to the people as a whole. I think it's going to be televised. I think people's smartphones. Check this out, bro. We all got one of these, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm sure, I know some of you don't have smartphones. Some of my listeners actually just have a regular phone. That's cool, too, okay? But if you have a smartphone, I believe what's going to happen, Josh, is you're going to be driving around, right? And say you're listening to Spotify or Pandora, okay, and you're driving. All of a sudden, your screen's going to turn on. No more Spotify, no more Pandora. The system has been taken over, and it's now a video monitoring the Antichrist. Whatever he says, whatever he does, you're seeing it right here on this screen, and you have no control over it. The radio station you're listening to, boom, it's going to be on there. The street signs, you know how the street signs are now LED TVs? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They're going to go right to the Antichrist message. What does he have to say? Let's everybody just look up to the signs. Everybody look on your phone. Everybody look, you know, I mean, every type of broadcast device, I believe, is going to be taken over by his message when he's giving it.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. It's, man, it's heavy stuff we're talking about, but it's so important because, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of the church ignores this stuff, and a lot of the church is going to be unprepared for when it happens. A lot of the church still wants to fight about the rapture, and, you know, like, when we talk about it, it's almost just like, it's like, that's like preschool stuff, you know? Who cares?
Okay, I get it. You know, you're pre-trib. I'm, you know, and technically pre-wrath is post-trib if you get down to the logistics. But now look, you asked a question. I went on a tangent, but let me try to break this down a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay. NASA's got the portals opening. They're telling us this. Now, they're not opening them, but they're monitoring them. They could be the people to blow the whistle to the American people and say, hey, NASA here, we've been monitoring the portals. This is what's coming out of them. There's going to be a God coming down. I'm just saying, dude. I mean, we don't know what they're going to see coming in and out of these portals up in space. We know that they're there. They have told us that they are there. They've admitted it. It's on their website. They could actually tell us, hey, you know, this whole portal program, the whole reason we're up there, we were monitoring. We were working with the Vatican. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this could be.
Yeah.
They come out and they say, well, we've been working with the Vatican. You know, the Vatican says that they've been in contact with extraterrestrials. Now they're coming through our portals, and they're actually going to go through the portal in space, and they're going to enter in at space and then, you know, come out on Earth. I'm just telling you, like, this could be a potential way it goes down. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because there's I think usually ufologists make this point, but it is a good point. And I'm trying to remember exactly. It might have been Jacques Vallée or somebody that I was looking into, but they made the point that you never see these things coming from, you know, way out into deep space and enter our solar system and then on Earth. They're just here. So they're getting here somehow. And usually they say, well, you know, that's support for the idea that they must be traveling through some sort of a wormhole or Stargate. But yeah, I mean, it's little things like that we don't really think about and, you know, kind of take for granted until it's put in front of us. And it's like, yeah, wow. You know, we never hear of that. And even like on NASA's own website, you know, sometimes they'll see a UFO and they'll turn the camera off real fast. It's always right by Earth. It's always really close. So they're not getting here just by like a lot, you know, like faster than light speed or you know, something like that. It seems to be something based in a wormhole or something that I believe a lot is wormholes into extra dimensions.
Okay. The Book of Enoch is clear. The demons, they're disembodied Nephilim souls, okay? Enoch made this very clear. This is not talking about the other Enoch books. This is talking about Enoch 1. That's the only book that I believe is legit in the Enochs.
Yep.
So I think the fallen angels do have the power, okay? I think they've got the power to, you know, show up as a human, show up as a weird creature, show up as whatever they want. As Gary Wayne talked about, the changeling quality, when they enter into our dimension, they can change into whatever quality they want. So I think that when we look at it like that, I think what's happening is we don't need technology to open portals. I think we talked about this before. You know, portals can be open, you know, goodness, I believe playing with a Ouija board, having a seance, I believe that this stuff opens portals, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that when we look at it with that mentality, you say, well, then why is CERN doing this? Well, first of all, CERN is doing this because they're tapping into something that they think is good. You know, CERN is tapping into this technology because they want to recreate the world. That's what they're saying. They're saying that they're trying to recreate the Big Bang. So I'm just having to throw it out there. Now, let me also make a very interesting point about CERN. CERN, the predecessor to CERN, from my research, I think Michael Hurt told me this, goes back to University of Chicago. And so it was basically an underground project at University of Chicago, and then it got moved over into Switzerland. And again, it's not all in Switzerland. It's partially in Switzerland. It's partially in France. It's like on the line. But the crazy thing is that when you go and you study the history of the area, that's like the idea of the United Nations was birthed over there. That's like the Geneva Convention area. So, I mean, that right there, to me, that's a little fishy. You know, why would they choose that location? You know, again, you're dealing with ley lines, I believe. I believe there's truth to the whole ley line theory. I think that the occult really believes in the ley lines and that they operate based on them. Washington, D.C., you know, they chose that location because it's an occult, powerful location. It lines up with, I mean, you got the star Sirius. You know, it's like a second moon shining down on D.C. at night. Now that right there, if that doesn't cause you to wonder, why is it that we chose DC? Well, just look up and there's like a second moon shining down. You know, and if you've never been to DC, it's a pretty amazing sight. I've been there twice. And when I saw Sirius, man, I'm driving with my brother. It's like 2 a.m. or something, and I'm driving, and my brother's like, "Yeah, dude, we got to look out for Sirius." I'm like, "Sirius?" And he's like, "Yeah, the star." I'm like, "We're driving." He's like, "Dude, there it is. And Josh, I look up, I'm like, wow. I'm like, man, that's why they put, I mean, literally DC was strictly, that was the location. So anyway, ley lines, I digress, dude. I'm like going into so many tangents tonight. Please forgive me, Josh.
Oh no, that's fine. Like I've said this in so many programs, so many different episodes. If it wasn't called the Sharpening Report, it'd be called the Tangent Report because they have me as a host. And if you're not going on tangents, then I certainly will. So that's not a problem.